Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page. Like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. Now, as you can see, I'm running solo this week. We got a jam-packed episode for you today. I'm currently recording from Orlando, Florida, home of the 2024 NFL Annual Owners Meeting. We had a news-filled day on the first real day of the owners meeting earlier Monday. The AFC coaches spoke at the morning brunch, morning breakfast, and that included Mike McDaniel. It was the first time we were able to speak to the Dolphins coach since the combine in late February. Obviously, a lot has happened since then, especially with free agency, a lot of departures, a lot of incoming new players to South Florida. So we got Mike McDaniel's comments on the first wave of free agency, some potential additions, as well as some other topics that we're going to get into over the course of this pod today, this week. But we got to start with some news that broke just a couple days after we last recorded with David Neal. That is obviously the news regarding the Dolphins and wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., the three-time Pro Bowler, one of the biggest names in the sport. Last week it came out, or our own Barry Jackson reported, that the Dolphins are interested in the 31-year-old wide receiver. He actually came on a visit down in South Florida, where he actually spends a lot of his time with his family and training and whatnot, but he left without a deal. Now, for the first time on the record, we got Mike McDaniel commenting on that, and he did confirm that an offer has been made to Beckham. Now, obviously, he said that business takes time. That's something that you have to work out. But he is kind of hopeful that the Dolphins and Odell Beckham Jr. will come to an agreement to bring him to Miami, put him in a Dolphins uniform. I'm going to give you the exact quote from earlier Monday. Mike McDaniel said things went great with him. We did make him an offer, and business takes time, especially with players such as Odell, who's had a phenomenal career, still has really good football in front of him, and has options. So I think those conversations will be ongoing. We'll see where they go. He continued, I don't live in the world of crystal balling, and I do stay in my lane as a coach. I'm definitely ready to coach him if we can come to an agreement, and I think both sides are trying to work towards that. We'll see what happens. Now, if you have been paying attention to the Dolphins in the podcast, especially last week, I made the argument that number three wide receiver is one of the more important remaining holes for the Dolphins. And even before free agency opened, if you've read my work, listened to the pod, you know that I've on multiple occasions have spoken about the Dolphins need to add a number three wide receiver behind Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Now, obviously, Miami did sign Jonnu Smith, who really fills that pass-catching tight end role. I think that that'll allow them to kind of dive into more 12 personnel sets with two tight ends and whatnot. But I think they really needed some juice to complement, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And I really like the possibility of the Dolphins adding Odell Beckham Jr. Now, let's just kind of take a step back and look at kind of the state of the Dolphins wide receiver room. As I said before, you have Tyreek Hill, you have Jalen Waddle, but truthfully not a lot behind that. Cedric Wilson Jr., who kind of filled that number three role for most of last year, he's gone. He signed with the New Orleans Saints. The Dolphins did re-sign River Craycraft and Braxton Berrios, but I think that everyone would say that, you know, in moments when we saw Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle go down, or you know their snaps were reduced, the Dolphins definitely could use a little more dynamic ability. Now is Odell Beckham Jr. The Odell, the OBJ of 2014, 2015, 2016, when he made three Pro Bowls, when he was the talk of the NFL and he was viewed as a bona fide number one wide receiver. He's not. He's not a number one wide receiver. Is he a number two wide receiver? I would make the argument that he's not a number two wide receiver, although we did see him a couple years back with the Los Angeles Rams and a very high volume passing offense, kind of similar to the Dolphins. We saw him be a very, very productive number two behind Cooper Kupp in Los Angeles, catching passes for Matt Stafford. And truthfully, I mean, he said it himself. He thought he was on his way to winning MVP honors a couple years back in the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, we saw what happened with him tearing his ACL. He goes down that path of rehab. He misses pretty much an entire year, and then he comes back with the Ravens, where I think that he puts together a respectable year, truthfully. 35 catches, close to 600 yards, three touchdowns. The 16.1 yard per catch average was actually the highest of his career. Now, the thing is, the Ravens signed him to a 1 year, $15 million deal. So when you kind of look at stack up the production next to the contract that he got, I think you would say, yeah, like that definitely was a little bit of a overpay. And right now, the compensation, the money, the financial terms are really the sticking point. I don't think that he's going to get $15 million from the Dolphins. I don't think the Dolphins are in a position to give their number three wide receiver and somebody that's going to be clearly be their number three wide receiver $15 million. But I do think that there's a sweet spot they can, and my little prediction is that they will find that sweet spot to get Odell down here. But how does he fit in this offense? Again, go back to the Dolphins need somebody that has juice. Again, he might not have that game-breaking speed from his prime, but there were multiple occasions where he was able to catch the ball, separate from DBs. We saw, we saw that run after catch ability that Mike McDaniel loves so much. We saw that in Baltimore. I think that when Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are off the field, and we know that this is an offense and this is a coaching staff that definitely staggers their snaps to keep them fresh and healthy, I think that you don't have as much of a drop off when you take Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle off the field, and now you still have these two wide receiver sets, but now it's Odell and Jalen Waddle, or it's Odell and Tyreek Hill instead of Tyreek Hill and Cedric Wilson or Braxton Berrios, Robert Craycraft. I think that he is a very smart wide receiver who knows how to find the holes in zones. The Dolphins face a lot of zone because of that speed. I think that if he's a guy that he can play outside, he can play inside, but I kind of like him working inside on the number three wide receiver. And if you're playing some zone, he can find the kind of the soft spots in those zones and kind of be a friendly pass catcher for Tua Tagovailoa if they play some man. I think he's a guy that can beat man. Again, is he the wide receiver separator of yesteryear of his prime? He's not. But hey, I mean, we saw it up close, just a couple months ago when the Dolphins played the Ravens in Baltimore. We saw his ability to make some tough catches. He's a guy that doesn't drop a lot of passes. I mean, hey, his claim to fame was a one-handed catch in coverage. And I'm not saying that he's going to do that, every single week, but we have seen he is a guy who can make some tough catches and kind of come through for his wide receiver, for his quarterback. Again, is he a guy who you're expecting to catch six, seven passes a game in this offense? No. But you don't need that. I think that you kind of need just one or two plays a game where he comes through when Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle are bracketed, and he can separate on one-on-one, or he can find the soft spot in the zone to make a tough catch. I really, really, really like that. Is it a needle mover? I don't know about a needle mover. I don't want to go that far. I don't want to say a number three wide receiver is a needle mover. But if they're able to add Odell before the draft, that puts them in such a good position when it comes to the draft. We've been talking about the potential for them, maybe drafting a wide receiver at 21, at 55. I'm not saying that, that becomes out of the question, if they add Odell. But it really does allow you to attack some other parts of the team that I think that really need to be addressed, and specifically the trenches, whether that's offensive line, defensive line. I think that if you add Odell, you are most certainly in what I called last week best player on the trenches available position, where you can get a tackle, you can get a guard, you can get another defensive tackle to try to compensate for the departure of Christian Wilkins and Raekwon Davis. So I'm banging the table for this move. I think that it would be a home run slam dunk move. And Mike McDaniel kind of alluded to it before. The construction of this roster is not is not complete. And the nature of the moves that they make over the course of the coming months are going to shape the identity of this roster. He alluded to, hey, if we add another a number three wide receiver or an additional wide receiver, maybe we can do those three wide receiver sets, and we can be a little more effective and allows us to evolve. He's talked about this evolution of the offense that takes place every single year. I think that the signing of, as I alluded to before, the signing of Jonnu Smith potentially allows them to do more 12 personnel, something that they have not done at all since Mike McDaniel arrived. Maybe it signals that they're going to be able to throw the ball to the tight ends more, which they have not done since Mike McDaniel arrived. They also haven't run a ton of three wide receiver sets, which is mainly because they were really, really major in that 21 personnel with two running backs, usually usually Alec Ingold as the second running back. But hey, you're like, maybe if you add Odell, you can diversify your skill set. Maybe it opens up some more stuff from the run because you're in those wide receiver sets. You have to add more DBs. Maybe you have to play more off coverage, some more zone coverage, some more two high safety looks, and maybe allows you to run the ball a lot better. So I really do like the addition of Odell. And the last thing I'll say on the additions, I know, just kind of scrolling through X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I know a lot of folks were saying, well, one, I saw a lot of Dolphins fans saying that Odell is washed. And I think, like, I don't know, I think that washed is kind of one of those overused terms, like, in our lexicon today. And I'll kind of allude to what I said before, where is Odell, prime 25, 24-year-old Odell? No, but can he contribute to winning in a specific role that doesn't ask him to do more than he is capable of? I think so. And I think that coming to Miami would be a great addition personnel-wise. The second thing I'll say is that I saw a lot of people saying, he's a headache, he's a diva, we don't need more head cases, we don't need this, that, he's a bad locker room guy. And I would just say personally, from from my past, following the Ravens, even following them this year, from people I know in the organization, from what I've read, from what I've seen, that couldn't be farther from the truth. I know that he definitely has that he's carried that stigma with him over the course of his career because of, some of the incidents that we saw early on in his career with the Giants. But from what I've seen, from what I've read, he seems like a very mature player, much more mature than he was in years past. Somebody who has a different perspective, on himself, on his role. And I'll say, from what I read from, whether it was Coach John Harbaugh, from whether it was some of the other wide receivers in the room, he was nothing but a consummate professional in that locker room. There was a lot of talk about how he mentored Zay Flowers, the Ravens' number one wide receiver in the draft last year, how he was a great locker room presence, and really a mature veteran presence that that group needed last year. And we all know that the Dolphins are really big on that, having guys that aren't B guys. I don't see him as a B guy, even though that's something that maybe he's carried as a stigma over the past couple of years. So those are just kind of like my last two thoughts on the Odell Beckham signing. It'll be interesting to see what the timeline for it is. I mean, the Dolphins don't really need to rush at all. He won't count toward the compensatory pick formula. If anybody's asking, I know that we've been kind of monitoring that, this offseason. He doesn't count towards that because he already revised his contract to add void years and stuff like that. So the Dolphins can sign him at any time. It just seems like it's coming down to the money. Mike McDaniel said himself that he has options. So we'll see. But in terms of the available wide receivers, I think that this would be a slam dunk signing for the Dolphins and this offense in 2024. All right, we're gonna take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, I'm gonna hit on some other Dolphins related items from day one at the NFL annual owners meeting in Orlando. So stay locked, and I'll be back soon.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins Internet Podcast, talking all things Dolphins on the first half. I broke down the developing news about the Dolphins and Odell Beckham Jr., who visited Miami's facility last week and has received an offer, but is yet to sign. Talks are ongoing with the three-time Pro Bowler, according to Coach Mike McDaniel. Now, I want to dive into some other Dolphins-related stuff from the AFC coaches breakfast early Monday morning. Again, we got Mike McDaniel for about 30 minutes. And again, it was the first time since the combine in late February that we were able to talk to Mike McDaniel, or really anybody, any one of the Dolphins brass. So we got a lot of news from just that half hour. Mike McDaniel fielded a very interesting question about the state of Tua Tagovailoa's contract negotiations. Now, as you all know, Miami and Tua's agent have been discussing the terms of an extension since the end of the 2023 season. There's no timeline for the deal. And, you know, this is something that could take some time. If we look back at some of the recent quarterback deals in recent years, even last year, a lot of those deals got done late in the spring into the summer, you know, just days before the season started. So, Chris Greer, general manager, said himself, these deals take time. They're not rushing it. However, Tua is entering a contract year. He's entering the final year of his rookie deal, the fifth-year option. And with that, Mike McDaniel was asked whether Tua Tagovailoa, or whether he expected Tua Tagovailoa to be in attendance for the start of the team's offseason workout program. That kicks up April 15th and, you know, takes them well into June. Mike McDaniel, despite, you know, the contract talks, said he fully expects Tua Tagovailoa to be in attendance when they start. This was the exact quote. He goes, "I do expect him to be in OTAs because of my working relationship with Tua. And for 2 years, I've watched Tua gain some unbelievable residuals toward the season in that process. It's part of the reason Tua is who he is, because he's always learning, never staying the same, and always working on his craft." He continued, "I don't really put too much thought beyond that. I understand the business. But I also understand with my job with Tua is to make sure that his football is continuing to evolve and the best days are in front of him, which is both of our goals." I don't think there was too much of a surprise with that, with those comments. And it was good to obviously get it on the record that Mike McDaniel expects Tua to be in attendance. There won't be any, you know, negotiating ploy or contract or any issues kind of born out of the contract negotiations, which by all accounts seem to be very amicable and to be going along, you know, swimmingly, as well as contract negotiations have. But I do bring that up because earlier in the talk during the breakfast, Mike McDaniel was asked about the handling of extension talks with a pair of homegrown talents who did not re-sign with the team and had just recently left in free agency, that being Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt. I thought it was very interesting the way Mike McDaniel answered that question, because, you know, he acknowledges that, hey, like, these new deals, these extensions weren't something that just kind of snuck up on us and we just recently started engaging in them. And that's correct, because, you know, the Dolphins were engaged in extension talks with Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt at different points of the last year. Obviously, they were talking with Christian Wilkins before the start of the 2023 season. Chris Greer said that he had talks with Robert Hunt's agent during the 2023 season. But both players got or received deals that, while the Dolphins thought they were fair, they didn't think was, you know, the peak of their value. They bet on themselves. They played the seasons out. They got to free agency and they cashed out. Christian Wilkins, 4 years, $110 million. Rob Hunt, I believe it's 5 years, $100 million. So these guys bet on themselves and they fully won. And I think that the natural reaction from a lot of Dolphins fans and just outsiders was like, why is it that we have these homegrown talents who are playing well and we're not locking them up? Because for the past couple of years, the Dolphins have been grooming young talent and getting them and developing them. And now they were really, for the first time in kind of this rebuild, they were in a position where kind of the building blocks of that rebuild were up, where it's time for them to re-up. And I think that it was definitely kind of odd to see guys like Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt and guys who have been really gone through this whole period, this whole era with the Dolphins, sign elsewhere. But I think McDaniel made a very fair point with the salary cap. The salary cap is real, despite what people might want to say. It is very real. The Dolphins are a clear example of that, and some of the moves that they made and some of the moves they were not able to make. He pointed out that, hey, money spent in this spot is money that can't be spent in another spot. And for the Dolphins, if they were going to commit, close to 20, $25+ million to Christian Wilkins, $20 million to Rob Hunt over the next couple of years, while yes, that would have meant that they would have kept some homegrown talents, I think that with the nature of the Dolphins' financial situation, the salary cap, and the guys that they have upcoming, that would have significantly hindered their ability to build a cohesive roster. That's something that Mike McDaniel touched on a lot of times. Like the signing, and he kind of said it without saying it, like signing those guys to those types of deals would have really hamstrung the Dolphins' ability to build a complete roster. Well, obviously, when those guys leave, your roster gets depleted and then you have to replace them. But we saw how the Dolphins kind of operated in the first wave of free agency, signing some vets, kind of some low-cost deals, but potentially high value. And I think that's what we're going to see. That's what we're going to see this year, maybe even next year, because they have some guys coming up. But bringing it all, tying it all together, I McDaniel said that the contract negotiations with Christian Wilkins and Rob Hunt don't really change the way won't really change the process for the Dolphins in terms of future negotiations, because every negotiation is unique in its own right. But I do think that there is one lesson to be taken from those two situations, and I think that sometimes it's better to be ahead of the curve and maybe overpay for a guy in the moment than maybe stick to your perceived dollar amount, and what you believe is fair market value. I say that because I look at what has happened, what has transpired with the wide receiver market in the past couple of years. I look at T. Higgins, or T. Higgins being up for a lucrative contract. I look at Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. I look at the deal that Michael Pittman just got from the Indianapolis Colts, $20 million. I look at the deal that Calvin Ridley just got from the Tennessee Titans, upwards of $20 million, $23, $25 million. My first reaction, my first thought when I saw the Calvin Ridley deal was the Dolphins should have signed, or the Dolphins should sign Jalen Waddle yesterday. Like, they need to be on that immediately. Now, obviously, they have the fifth-year option for Jalen Waddle, which gives them some time to work out a long-term deal and maybe kind of like kick that can down the road. But I think that they should kind of learn from what just happened with Christian Wilkins. And obviously, again, Christian Wilkins declined a deal that the Dolphins said was very fair. But he thought, he could get a little bit more, and he was definitely able to get a little bit more. Truthfully, if I was the Dolphins, I would sign Jalen Waddle to a deal in excess of $25 million, like today, yesterday, if I could go back in time, but I can't. So today, and I would make sure that he is sealed up for the next 5 years. Chris Greer has on multiple occasions said that he believes Jalen Waddle is a part of their future, is a core part of their future. He's alluded to multiple guys who are up next for extensions. Obviously, Waddle was one of those guys, along with Tua Tagovailoa, Javon Holland, and Jalen Phillips when he gets back healthy. But I look at the wide receiver market and I look at what T. Higgins might get. He's dealing with a franchise tag situation and requested a trade. But I just think about what he might get. I think about the fact that Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson might be the first wide receivers in NFL history to get at least $30 million. And I think that while you might not say Jalen Waddle is a better wide receiver, a better player than those two guys, he might, or whether he's not on the same tier, we just saw with Christian Wilkins that the market is the market. And when guys at the top get paid, that just increases the floor for everybody else coming up behind them. I would love to see the Dolphins get ahead of that, be proactive, not reactive, in signing one of their top guys. And I think the same thing goes for Tua. I wrote a piece a couple of weeks back about what a deal for Tua might look like. And we see these quarterback deals increasing so much, especially over the past couple of years, increasing at a rate greater than the salary cap. And we just saw recently, last year, multiple quarterbacks signed new deals averaging at least $50 million. The highest paid quarterback right now is Joe Burrow with the Bengals, who makes $55 million a year on average. And again, whatever you want to say about Tua, he might not be on the same tier as a Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Pat, whatever. But again, his time has come to be paid, and I think that you look at a situation where you have some of his peers who are going to get paid. I think that there's some other guys who are definitely could sign new deals this offseason, whether it's Trevor Lawrence, whether it's Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, and Jordan Love, some others. When those guys get paid, the ceiling, or excuse me, the floor just increases. The number just increases for Tua and his agent. And I think that, while a deal averaging over $50 million and close to $60 million might look crazy, and might, make a lot of Dolphins fans kind of fall out of their seat with their mouth wide open. I think that as the salary cap increases, that deal won't look as crazy in 2, 3 years. Shoot, it might not look crazy in a couple months if you sign them right now and kind of get ahead of the curve, kind of get ahead of the quarterback boom, so to speak. So that's kind of what stuck out to me when McDaniel was talking about Tua's contract, him expecting him to be at OTAs, and kind of the lessons learned, or maybe how things aren't really going to change as much with contract talks because of what happened with Christian Wilkins and Bob Hunt. I think that some things kind of should change, if you're the Dolphins. And again, I've said it multiple times, if Tua is your guy, whatever you want to say about Tua, however you stand on the Tua debate, if you're the Dolphins and Tua is your guy, there should be no hesitation in giving him a top of the market deal that not only makes him the highest paid player in franchise history, but makes him one of, if not the most highest paid, or if not the highest paid player in the NFL. I know that it is a tough pill to swallow. It is a tough financial pill to swallow. But you're either in or you're out on your guy, It's not, I said it before, it's not, you're not giving him a Daniel Jones contract. You're either giving him a top of the market deal, or you're giving him no deal. So that's how I feel about that. All right, one last thing before we get out of here. Mike McDaniel, the issue of play calling at the end of the 2023 season. McDaniel was asked whether he would, consider giving up and relinquishing play calling so he can focus on other game day duties. He said he was open to that. He was asked Monday morning if he'd made a decision, and he said he thought long and hard about it. But he has decided, or he plans to call plays in the spring during off-season workouts, and in the fall, obviously when the season starts. The exact quote was, "I thought about it long and hard, and I think one of the things we've done this off-season is really lean into the facilitation of fuller communication and development of our staff in all three phases. I think from a play calling perspective, for now in the spring, I'm going to call plays. I plan on doing it in the fall, but we'll always adjust if necessary." Me personally, I never thought that was like a serious thing to consider. Does Mike McDaniel have his weak points and things that he needs to work on? Yes, and I've said multiple occasions, I think that he'd be the first to let you know there are things that he needs to work on. Has he improved as a play caller from year one to year two? Yes. Does he have more year to grow? Does he have more room to grow? Yes. But I think we got to remember, like, he's literally in his entering his third year, calling plays like on his own. Like, he didn't have that role entirely when he was with the San Francisco 49ers. He's doing that now in Miami. Yes, the Dolphins have struggled against top defenses. But they also did finish number one in yards or within, I mean, that has to count for something. I know you'd like to see it kind of play out more in some of their best performances against the better teams when the stakes are the highest. But I think that Mike McDaniel has done a lot more good than bad. And I just feel like if he was to relinquish play calling duties, or if somebody above him was to strip play calling duties above him from him, so that he can focus more on, you know, when to throw a challenge flag, when to call a timeout, or other game day responsibilities. Just think about it this way: is Mike McDaniel best served as an offensive play caller on game day, calling the plays with the play sheet, in addition to, you know, trying to manage the game day responsibilities, just like just about every other offensive play calling coach does? Or are the Dolphins better off with him, you know, doing the during the week game planning, and then just kind of twiddling his thumbs and making a decision on when to throw a flag or call a timeout, as Frank Smith calls plays? Now, it's not to take anything from Frank Smith, but Mike McDaniel is the architect of this offense. He's the person that has built the scheme around Tua Tagovailoa, around Tyreek Hill, around Jalen Waddle, around so many other players. I think that the Dolphins are better served with him still calling the plays, despite whatever game day play clock issue that arises. He's not the only one that has this issue. Andy Reid has been criticized for having issues with play clock ma management. A lot of other offensive play calling coaches have come upon this issue, and I just think that the Dolphins are better served and are a better team when Mike McDaniel is calling the plays, as opposed to if you were not to call the plays. That's how I feel on it. Obviously, we'll see how he grows as a play caller. Again, they talk about a lot of growth from the players, from the scheme and whatnot. You know, a lot of the growth is coming from Mike McDaniel as well. He's still a very, very young coach, and I think that while there's a lot of frustration with how the past two seasons have ended, especially last season, I think we should remind ourselves that he is still young, a young coach within himself, and he's growing and learning and fixing mistakes and whatnot. So that's my piece on it, and we'll see how he fares in his third year as an offensive play caller. All right, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I want to thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Reminder to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. I'll still be in Orlando on Tuesday as the NFC coaches have their morning breakfast. Might get some insight on some of the newest Dolphins coming over from the NFC teams, as well as other developments at the annual Owners League meeting. I'll be back next week to recap another week of Dolphins football and developments and news, etc. Until then, you guys take care. See ya.